first chapter of the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter number 1. I read from these verses last year, but I just want to continue looking here in the book of Ruth. There are several places where God speaks to us as New Testament believers in this short little book. Contrary to popular opinion, I am not from South Carolina. I am a Tar Heel bred and born. And I have been born and raised in a little town called Taylorsville, North Carolina. And I am thankful for God's grace that came to me as a 9.5-year little old boy. Been 59 years ago since God saved me. Just as real today as it was back then. And I am thankful. The choir sung, "I never shall forget that day." Brother Taylor and myself made a visit in Winston to one of our elderly ladies in rehabilitation, and I sang her that song, "I never shall forget the day." Amen. Say, "I don't remember the day." You don't have to remember the day, but you better know that something happened back yonder. Amen. If you're willing and able, would you stand as we read from this portion of God's Word? I appreciate the good singing tonight by grace. I love those instruments. And if this man could ever learn to play the guitar, they'd really have a good group. I can tell you that right now. I like that kind of playing. That's a blessing to me. And I like good live music. I'm not against the other kind. But I like to see people play an instrument and develop their talents for the glory of God. Ruth chapter 1, verse number 1 says this, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then turn over to chapter number 4. The Bible said in verse 13, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. And he is the father of Jesse, the father of David." I'm going to ask Brother Taylor Pennell, pastor of Macedonia Baptist Church in our county, a young man we ordained, to lead our hearts to prayer. Pray for us, Brother Taylor. Yes, we do. Oh, God. Oh, yes. Thank you tonight. Oh, God. Help me tonight, I pray. God, touch the need here this evening. Oh, dear God, help us tonight, we pray. Oh, God. God, do. Oh, God, do. Oh, yes. Yes. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Last year, we done a flyover of the book of Ruth, emphasizing some important truths that stand out. We looked at the book of Ruth having a horrible beginning, but it has a happy ending. You read those first 5 verses of Ruth chapter 1. It is a time of darkness, a time of desperation, a time of grief, agony, and pain. But when you turn over to chapter number 4, there is no more grief, but there is glory. There is no more tears, but there is triumph. There is no more bereavement, thank God. There is a baby boy by the name of Obed in the arms of his grandmother. Hallelujah to his name. And I am here to tell you that the Christian life is described as the same. Man that is born of a woman is a few days, and he is full of trouble. But I am glad I have read the end of the book. And as they sang about a while ago, John has already seen me standing in that heavenly choir singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." There is a happy ending to this life. Oh, bless His name. But when you look at the book of Ruth, you not only can see that it is a book that has a horrible beginning and a happy ending, but you will also find that it is a human story that has heavenly significance. It is a love story between Ruth and Boaz. It is a story about literal human beings. This is not a myth. This is not some fictitious tale that has been spun. But these are people who actually lived in Bethlehem and in Moab, and they lived and moved and have being in history that I've read to you about tonight. It is a human story, but there is a heavenly significance. It's just like the book of Hosea. It is a human story that has a heavenly significance. It begins with the marriage of Hosea to Gomer and describes her adulteries and her unfaithfulness. And she walked away from Hosea, living the life of this world. But in chapter 3, she's being sold on the slave block, and Hosea gathers up every bit of money he has to his name. He packs away all the barley he has to his name, and he goes and pays for Gomer to set her free. That's not what Hosea's about, though. It's about a God who loved his people that had walked away from him and had denied him and rebelled against him. But God, I say God, still loved them. In the book of Ruth, you will find there is an emphasis on the grace of God. There is a message of grace. I dealt with that last year in the service. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't find the word grace in the book of Ruth." Well, I've read the book of Esther, and I don't find the name of God in the book of Esther, but God is in every chapter of the book of Esther. I may not read the literal word grace in the book of Ruth, but I'm telling you, grace is everywhere you look. Hallelujah tonight. There is a message of grace. But I want to look at a second emphasis tonight. You will not only find a message of grace in the book of Ruth, but you will find a message of the gospel in the book of Ruth. There is good news in the book of Ruth. Hallelujah. You don't have to read very far in chapter 1 till Naomi hears what God has done over in Bethlehem. She heard what the Lord had done for her people. She heard some good news. There are two things that I want to emphasize about the gospel. In the book of Ruth, you'll find there is something to be said about the testimony of the gospel. The gospel has power to save. The gospel bears witness. It testifies of God's ability to deliver and forgive sin. You say, where is it found in the book of Ruth? Well, have you ever wondered why Ruth wanted to leave Moab? Have you ever considered why she would uproot herself, leaving all of her family behind, and go with Naomi back to Bethlehem? It is something to think about. And I believe that Naomi, as she submitted to her husband's leadership and came to Moab, and she finds herself in an alien country, but her faith, like the faith of that little maid in the household of Naaman, is very much alive and it is vibrant. I believe Ruth sees something in the life of Naomi that causes her to want Naomi's people to be her people. That she wanted to lodge wherever Naomi lodged, and she wanted the God Naomi had. Hallelujah. There was a witness. There was a testimony given to Ruth that caused her to want to come out of Moab and go all the way to Bethlehem. Do you remember when somebody bore witness to you? Do you remember that fellow worker that you worked beside, and they began to witness to you about what God had done for their life? Do you remember that person who came knocking on your door and inviting you to the house of God? Oh, tonight, do you remember those people that lifted your name to heaven above and cried for mercy on your soul? Naomi has borne testimony to Ruth, and Ruth wants Naomi's God in her life. Want to ask us tonight, do we live in such a fashion that people want the God that we serve? Oh, tonight, thank God for the testimony of the gospel. It is illustrated in an actual life that I want to make mention of tonight. There was a young man by the name of Matthew Jones. I became the pastor of his father and mother and sister when Matthew was about 5 years old. at Beulah Baptist Church there in Taylorsville. A few years later, they had to move to Black Mountain because of her job. In the process, Matthew got saved there at Swannanoa Heights Baptist Church. And the first job that he ever had was working at Ingalls Distribution Center. And Matthew would take his Bible every day to work. And during the lunchtime, Matthew would sit there and read the Word of God. There were some young men that worked with him, and they began to make fun of him. They began to mock him and to taunt him about reading the Scriptures. But old Matthew just kept reading the Word of God. It didn't bother him. He just kept on reading his Bible. A few years went by. In fact, a number of years went by. And one Sunday morning, a man and his wife came into the service. And the man stood up and said, "I want to thank God for saving me. And he's called me to preach. But I want to tell a young man in this congregation how much I appreciate him. And I want to apologize for how I acted toward him. I was a young man working at Ingalls Distribution Center. And Matthew Jones read his Bible every day at work. And I made fun of him and I ridiculed him. But the Holy Ghost took that witness and dealt with my heart, saved me by grace, called me to preach His Word." Hallelujah! We need to bear witness. We need to tell others what Jesus has done for us. It's found in the book of Ruth. The testimony of the gospel. But there is a second emphasis. Not only is there the testimony of the gospel, but there is also the tidings of the gospel. Thank God I have heard the good news. The angel appeared to those shepherds and said, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And the heavenly host couldn't hold it back any longer. And they said, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill toward men." Thank God for the good news that Christ has come to save you and I. The tidings. You say, where is it in the book of Ruth? I referenced to it in verse number 6 of chapter number 1. The Bible said, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread." She had heard the good news. She had heard the glad tidings. Do you remember when you heard that news? Do you remember that man of God preaching that day? And the gospel came to you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad for the good news that has been given. In the New Testament, in that era of history, the Greek word, this is the Hebrew rendering here in Ruth chapter 1 about hearing what the Lord had done. But in the New Testament, that word for gospel, it indicated that messenger that would leave the front battle lines and run all the way back to headquarters and bear witness to what had taken place in the battle. Hallelujah. That runner, that messenger was called the gospel. But Paul took the emphasis off of the messenger and he put it on the message. The messenger, I'm not much tonight, in fact, not worth anything, but the message I bring is worth it all. Hallelujah. I'm just a message bearer. You say, of what? I've been to Calvary. Hallelujah. And Satan has been defeated. The justice of God has been satisfied. The penalty of sin has forever been endured. Hallelujah. And victory has been won for you and I. Hallelujah tonight for the good news, the glad tidings of the gospel. Paul said, for I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received, and wherein ye stand, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Jesus said of Himself, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Hallelujah. Thank God for the good news that Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm glad He found me one blessed night. Hallelujah! What a Savior He is. Ruth has heard the good news. The Bible said that she had heard the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. That little word, visited, is an interesting word. In fact, the first time that it is ever mentioned in Scripture is in the book of Genesis, chapter number 21. It literally means that He takes oversight, that the Lord superintends what is occurring. He attends with care. That's what the word visited literally means. And for you to understand its full meaning, look at Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord visited Sarah. That meant that God came attending her with His care. God came superintending over her life. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he has said, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. God visited Sarah. He attended her with his care. It meant that God initiated what went on in Sarah's life and womb. It was God who intervened. And the word indicates that he doesn't just initiate and intervene on our behalf, but on the behalf of those that cannot help themselves. Hallelujah. I'm glad he visited me one night. I could not help myself, but God, I say God, came to where I was at. Bless his name. Sarah did not have a womb that had the ability to conceive. It had died. Abraham did not have the ability to propagate a children anymore. He was old. But I'm glad when Abraham and Sarah could not do anything for themselves to make them have a child, there was a God in heaven who came down to where they were at, touched her dead womb, put a child in her belly, and gave them a son by the name of Isaac. I say hallelujah. Aren't you glad God came down to where we were? We could not get to him, but he came down to us in his son and became one of us. Oh, hallelujah to his name. This little word means that the Lord takes oversight over a subordinate by taking action to cause a dramatic and miraculous change in one's circumstances for the better. Hallelujah. When he came to me, I was subordinate to him, and I still am. Oh, but I'm glad he took action that night to cause a miraculous change in my life. He turned a sinner into his son. Oh, bless his name. He took an unbeliever and made a believer out of me. Oh, bless his name. I'm glad he visited me. That's the good news. That's the tidings of the gospel tonight. He came to where you were at. He initiated. He came and touched your life. Hallelujah to his name. This is the power of the gospel tonight. And I am grateful for the victory that he has won for us. Would you stand? That's the message of my heart.